Hello and welcome once again, everybody. This is the official Texas Rangers Spitballin' Podcast. My name is Ben Rogers, and I'm joined today by Jared Sandler, who's filling in for the great Jamie Newberg today. Jared, thanks for taking the time, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ben.
Hey, there's plenty to get into with regard to the Texas Rangers, so let's dive right in. Obviously, Carlos Gomez arrives, has an immediate impact, hits the three-run home run. First pitch he sees is a Texas Ranger, if I'm not mistaken. What were you thinking as that ball left the stadium?
Oh, man, it was awesome. The first thing I thought was, I want to see his reaction. Is he showing off a little bit? Does he have any sort of a home run trot? Just to enjoy that for someone wearing a Rangers uniform. Obviously, I'm incredibly hypocritical when I tell you that I wouldn't have minded seeing a little swagger there. But, you know, he kind of approached it like a normal home run. And I thought it was really cool what he said after the game, Benny. He said that, you know, of all the home runs he's hit in his career and, you know, he has hit a decent amount. This is the first time after hitting one he wanted to cry. And I think that kind of is an indication of the burden that's maybe been on his shoulders with how poor of a season he's had and how much of a relief it is to get a second chance, have the slate wiped clean, and to be able to start anew in that way, endearing himself to a new fan base, and I'm sure further endearing himself to his teammates is something that I think was really special for him.
No doubt. And such a massive stroke in itself, you know, to put the Rangers up 3-0 against the Indians in a very important stretch. The Indians are an incredibly good team. So, you know, it was a very meaningful hit, you know, for him to get first and foremost. And then beyond that, I agree with you, to show the heart and emotion after the game. That's what I want from professional athletes. I love a good sports cry. I love to see that it means something to the athletes. I hate to bring this up, but the Prince Fielder press conference, I mean, I think that as crazy as this sounds, that won over anybody out there who wasn't already won over by Prince, just to see, oh my God, wait, this is a human being, and it wasn't just about, you know, millions and millions of dollars. He wants this. He cares about this team. He wants to compete with his teammates. And so for me, I love seeing that emotion. So safe to say that helps him, you know, not only the home run, but the emotion after the game, that helps expedite the fit-in process?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, it was interesting when he was in the clubhouse prior to the game. He went around the locker room, which this is pretty standard. This isn't anything he necessarily deserves credit for. But he went around and said hi to a lot of guys. And there were a number of guys who you could tell by the interactions, they knew him. And they enjoyed talking to him, and they were excited to see him. You know, whether it's someone like Mitch Moreland, who I'm sure has had a number of conversations at first base with Carlos Gomez when he gets on base, or, you know, former teammates like Jonathan Lucroy, and then, of course, Carlos Beltran, with whom he has a special relationship. And, you know, hopefully the fans appreciate this type of guy. And you brought the passion and, you know, Prince Fielder demonstrating passion kind of off the field. Well, Carlos Gomez is a guy that's going to demonstrate passion on the field, much like Rougned Odor. So it's easy to not like a guy like that when he plays for another team, especially a division rival. I get that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think this is a guy that when he wears your uniform, you're going to really like. And it's going to help that he's a productive player. I think, you know, what scares some people is that they heard Astros fans not like one of their own. Well, the reason Astros fans didn't like Carlos Gomez is because he just wasn't playing well. He was playing incredibly poorly, in fact. And I think as long as the production level is even around league average for Carlos Gomez, I think fans are really going to take to the dynamic personality and the dynamic athleticism that he'll bring to the table.
So one of the hot topics here of late is run differential. It's being brought up quite a bit. The Cubs have scored over 200 more runs than their opponents in their games. Meanwhile, the Rangers, as of a couple days ago, you know, were in a negative run differential, even with the most wins in the American League. You know, I look at that as a good indicator. If you want to look at an overall team performance, I get it. But I don't look at that in terms of the way I feel about a club going into the postseason. In other words, you know, you look at that, and the run differential could be incredibly impacted by players who are no longer on the club. So I just don't think it's a good way to kind of get a feel for the current state of things.
No, I totally agree. I think it's a fun thing to look at. Like a lot of these stats, it tells a part of the story. It doesn't tell the whole story. But you look at last night. So last night, the Rangers beat the Indians 9-0. So that's a +9 in the run differential department. Let's say they would have won the game 2-0. It would be a +2. There is a difference in that. In an individual game, run differential does make something of a difference. The Rangers have played a lot of close games this year. They've been dominant in the regard or in relation to their ability to win games versus lose games. They haven't necessarily been dominant in the way that they go about winning games. And that's probably taxed their bullpen to some degree. All these close games, these one-run games, you're having to use your high-leverage relievers. And earlier in the year, before the Rangers added depth to their bullpen, the scope of high-leverage relievers from which Jeff Banister could choose from was much smaller. So he was having to use guys over and over. So I think that run differential maybe is an indication of how much to go away from your high-leverage relievers late in games. If you're up by 9 going into the 7th inning, you're in a better position to preserve your bullpen than if you're up by 1. However, for people to sit here and say, well, the Rangers' run differential is an indication that they're going to start losing a lot more games, to me is foolish. And to think that just because a team has a low run differential, that means they're going to struggle in the playoffs is also foolish. There are different incarnations of a team as the season progresses. So I do think it maybe measures the dominance with which a team is able to win games or their ability to avoid getting dominated in games. But I don't think it's an indication in an absolute form of how good a team is or how good a team isn't. So, you know, I think it's an interesting conversation, and I don't mind having the conversation so long as people are able to understand that just like any statistic for an individual player or for a team, it does tell a part of the story, but it absolutely in no way, shape, or form tells the entire story.
So in that same vein, you know, you brought up the Rangers record in one-run games. I believe they're 27-8, something like that, like the best record in all of baseball. When you look at that, you know, I'm curious what it makes you think of. For me, I think about, okay, this bullpen's been phenomenal. And then beyond that, I think, man, look at Banny. I mean, how do you, you know, to win so many close games, it just seems like, obviously, you're going to give the credit to the players, but you know the captain of the chess match. You know, I would think that to win that many one run games to be that successful, a large part of the credit should go to the manager.
Oh, absolutely! I think one run games typically you brought the two parts of a team that really play into that, the bullpen and the manager. And in a weird way, the Rangers have kind of defied that. The bullpen probably hasn't been as big of a part of their success in one run games. As it would be for your average team, though the bullpen definitely deserves credit here because even though they've given away some leads this year, they've also done a great job at times in these close situations. But, yeah, you know, I think Banny deserves a lot of credit. You know, I think it's really easy to second-guess any decision-maker in any situation, in any profession, not just in sports, and you see this on Twitter all the time. But these guys work with a level of information that is so far beyond what we have available, even now with the internet and all these advanced metrics. And hearing Banny and hearing Doug Brocale and Anthony Iaposi talk about decisions that are made within a game, it's fascinating to me. The depth to which they consider all forms of information, statistical and anecdotal, is incredible. And this guy didn't just win Manager of the Year for no reason. He didn't lead a team or help lead a team that we thought was sunk at the end of April into the playoffs, you know, just because he's good at waking up and writing a few names into a lineup card. This is a really special manager, and the Rangers are very fortunate to have this guy. I know a lot of people out there believe that one-run victories will even out over a period of time, and maybe that's the case, but all we know is that right now the Rangers, since Jeff Banister's been here, have been really good in close games, particularly this year, and I think late game making is certainly something that plays into that in a big way.
All right, Jared, let's talk about what we want to see in September. For me, I want to see somebody in the rotation step up, whether it's Martin Perez kind of evening out, leveling out, being more consistent, being trustworthy, or Derek Holland, you know, adding on to that surprisingly fantastic first start for him coming back, or somebody else. I just need some stability with the rest of that rotation. Obviously, with you and Cole, you feel really, really good. Maybe Colby comes back. I don't know, but they need somebody, especially in, you know, their number three starter for a playoff series, assuming they get there. But, you know, it wouldn't hurt to go into October feeling really good about, you know, your number three and number four starter. So in terms of what I want to see in September, that's got to be up near the top of the list.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. That should be number one on everyone's list because you need that third starter. to give you a chance. I know it's easy to sit here and assume that the Rangers are going to win every game started by Cole Hamels and Yu Darvish, but come playoff time, and even in the regular season, that's just not a reality. That you can't bank on that. So you need someone who's going to be able to step up and give you a great opportunity to win, really, you know, in the third and fourth spot in the rotation. But we'll settle for just the third since the Rangers are scrambling to find two guys to fit that mold. So I agree with that. There's no disagreement there. Another thing that's on my list, I want to see this team defensively get back to where they were at the beginning of the year. I know this isn't sexy. You don't win fantasy baseball leagues because you've got a team filled with great defense. Thankfully, defensive metrics have maybe brought defensive ability more to the conversation with our ability to maybe talk about it in a better form. But this team defensively has not been very good over the last couple of months. And that's going to make a difference when you start playing all these close games in October. They need to step up defensively. I think Carlos Gomez will really provide for this team. We talk about the his ability at the plate and the potential there. We talk about the speed, and that speed translates to defense. He's the only guy on this roster who's won a Gold Glove in the outfield. And maybe he's not as good of an outfielder as he was back then when he won it a few years ago with Milwaukee. Maybe he is. You know, who knows? A lot of hitters, when they struggle at the plate, carry that out to the field, and it negatively affects their defense. So maybe if he gets going with the bat, he'll return to that form. But regardless, to join Ian Desmond in the outfield is really going to be a big help for Desi, especially when you consider that he's a first-year center fielder. And there's a lot that goes into that. And it was awfully tough for him when he was flanked by Nomar Mazara and Shin-Soo Choo, because neither of those guys have great range. Regardless of their abilities outside of range, those are not guys who have great range. And so it was asking a lot for Ian Desmond to have to cover so much ground back and forth and side to side. Carlos Gomez will help that out. Obviously, we remember what happened defensively last year in the infield. They need Elvis to be an absolute stud defensively, but they also need Rugi to step up his game too. And those guys have a tendency to not make the routine play, and that just isn't going to fly come October. And again, and I hate to bring up last October, but we saw firsthand a reminder of how important defense is, not only with the Rangers' struggles against Toronto in Game 5, but also with the Kansas City Royals and their ability to get through the postseason, get to the World Series for a second straight year, and last year actually win the World Series. Defense was as much a reason why as any.
Great point. All right, so who's the September call-up you're most anticipating or your dark horse to be a contributor when rosters expand?
Well, I'll go with a dark horse and a guy I expect to contribute. The guy I expect to contribute is Dario Alvarez. I think he'll come up and provide some relief for Jake Diekman and be a second lefty who can get lefties out, tough lefties late in the game, and maybe even earn a chance to make the postseason roster, because you know you're not going to carry a fifth starting pitcher in the playoffs, and I think that opens the door for another pitcher, and perhaps Dario Alvarez is that guy. The dark horse for me is Tanner Scheppers. I don't know that you're going to get anything from him. It looks like he's going to get an opportunity. And relievers have a tendency to really have Jekyll and Hyde careers. You know, they have great year. They have a great year 1 year, and then they really struggle the next. A great year the next year, and maybe for two straight years, and then they struggle. Well, Tanner Scheppers has struggled, and we know that there's more to his story than just being a pure reliever with the experiment and the rotation that led to injury, or whether he's battled injuries now for the last couple years. But he appears to be healthy. His most recent injury was a leg injury, a knee surgery, not an arm injury. So it's been a few years now since he's had arm issues. And as a dark horse, I don't think it's likely, but I do think that as a dark horse contributor, Tanner Scheppers might be that guy.
I like it. Both those guys help the bullpen, which, you know, if they work out, that's bringing some freshness to the bullpen. And you know, we've talked about concern over, you know, those guys. We need those guys to be fresh come October because they have the ability to truly be a strength of the team. For me, the September call-up I'm most highly anticipating is Joey Gallo. Look, I'm enamored with the home run. You know, I love Josh Hamilton, and I still believe he's got something left for that reason. Heck, I was tried to believe in Prince as long as I could till I was probably the last one thinking he could still hit for power. I just have a hard time giving up on the power hitters, and especially for Gallo. He's so young, and I know that he's struggled. I saw somebody tweet the other day that, you know, he struck out like half of his at-bats recently, and But I still think, you know, that guy has the ability on any one pitch to change the outcome of a game with the rawest power I've seen in a long time. I mean, even pop-ups tend to find their way to just get out of the stadium when he misses the ball because he's just so incredibly strong. I realize there's holes in his swing. I realize there's a lot of concern. There's a ton of swing and miss. But I'm still holding out hope that Joey Gallo can have a positive impact on this squad this season. Am I crazy?
No, I listen, that's he's a great candidate because all it takes for a guy like that is for him to get hot at the right time, and then you never know what's going to happen. So I'm definitely excited to see him get an opportunity. I think he'll get some at bats, especially as this offense continues to try to find its groove. And then maybe if the Rangers continue to extend their AL West lead and get a stronger degree of comfort, which they're already in a really comfortable position, but I think Joey Gallo will get some at-bats, and I think it will serve as not only a way for him to get some more major league experience and perhaps a low-pressure situation, but it could also serve as a bit of a playoff tryout because if he does get hot, it's going to be tough to not want this guy as an available bat come postseason.
Dude, that's a solid pinch-hit appearance for Jamie Newberg. How'd you feel about spitballing?
Man, I felt good. You know, it's really tough when you're pinch hitting. I was watching a lot of video prior to getting the call here in the eighth inning. I was in the cage with Anthony Iaposi. He was feeding me soft toss. And I really loved the scattering report of the pitcher that I had to face here. So I was just happy to get on base. It wasn't a base hit, but I'll take the walk. And next time I'll go for the pinch hit home run.
You're selling yourself short, sir. That was a Joey Gallo blast out of the stadium. He's Jared Sandler. I'm Ben Rogers. Appreciate Jared filling in for Jamie Newberg. Once again, if you enjoy the Spitballing podcast, please get out there, share it on social media, tell your friends about it. Be sure to subscribe. We appreciate your time. Until next time, happy baseball, everybody.